So this afternoon, we're going to look at this very wonderful Psalm 100. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 100 together, and we will read that together and study it this afternoon. So that's Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. And before we read, let's come before the throne of grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open up your word this afternoon, we pray that through your word and through the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would open up our hearts, that we would truly give thanks this day, that we would rejoice in you as we enter into this new year, as we contemplate how you have been our God in the past. You are our God here today, and you are with us, and that you are and will be our God into the future, that you have made these great promises, and you are worthy to be praised. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. May God bless his holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Well, brothers and sisters, this is the first Sunday of 2026. And it's at times like the new year when we often stop to reflect on the year past and the year to come, don't we? There have been many different things that have happened in each of our homes over the past year. Some things were exciting, while other things have caused sadness or anxiety. And the same goes for us in the church. How do you evaluate what has happened in the church over the past year? Perhaps the first things that we look at are the negatives, such as the church did not really grow last year, even though we prayed often to that end. We as a congregation have dealt with sickness, illness, and job loss this past year. However, there were exciting things that have happened, such as we became our own mission church. The Presbytery decided to go ahead with church planting here in Stratford and called a man to serve this community. We received members into our own membership last year. We've also received a couple of new members. The Lord has opened doors for further ministry into this city at the hospice. And our little presbytery here in Canada has formed its own denomination here in Canada. So there's much to be thankful for. So what are your thoughts on 2026? What will happen this year? When you look at the news, with the wars continuing in Ukraine, Israel, and what has just happened over the last few hours in Venezuela. When we see the continued depravity of our federal government departing further and further from God's law, even to the point of trying to classify the word of God as hate speech. We as fallen men and women often lean towards negativity and not praise. Is that correct? I feel it in my own heart. But this afternoon, we're going to give praise to our God, our Savior. And you might say to me, Tim, what do we have to praise God for? 2026 is not looking to be a great year. Well, there are many things to rejoice over. And one thing is for certain. We are now 1 year closer to Christ's return than we were last year. Whether Jesus returns next month or in the year 4638, we are another year closer to that great and final day. So what I want to do this afternoon is look at this very well-known, much-loved Psalm 100. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. There are many psalms that have thanksgiving to God. However, Psalm 100 is the only psalm that is titled a psalm of thanksgiving. And in today's psalm, we're going to look at our duty to praise God and why we need to give thanks to God. Brothers and sisters, let us start off this new year in thanksgiving to our beloved triune God, rejoicing in Him. Because it really doesn't matter what is going on outside of these doors. And it doesn't matter that if it is the Lord, that if in the Lord's will, He does not grow this church numerically this year either. We give thanksgiving to Him because of who He is. That is our reason for thanksgiving. So I'd like to look at Psalm 100 in 4 points this afternoon. They're printed in your bulletin as well. First, how to give thanks in verse 1 and 2. Second, why we must give thanks in verse 3. Third, an invitation to give thanks in verse 4. And then fourth, the character of God in verse 5. So this afternoon, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at how to give thanks. And are we surprised that we're not left up to our own devices on how to give thanks? There are so many out there that who think, I believe God would really enjoy this. Well, just like our worship, we are told by God how to give thanks. Now, you may not be able to readily see this just by reading the psalm in the English. But when you read it in the Hebrew, the psalm is actually loaded with 7 imperatives. It's full of commands. There's 7 commands in this psalm. Thanksgiving to God is worship, is it not? So how then are we to give thanks? Well, the psalmist gives us 3 ways that we're commanded to give thanks to God. And the first is to make a joyful shout to the Lord. To shout is written in the imperative, but it's a special kind of imperative. In the Hebrew, it's written in what's called the hifil stem, which is causative, meaning this. When you are in Christ Jesus, you are caused to make a joyful shout to the Lord. I believe many of us, including myself, I'm speaking about myself here, would be very uncomfortable going into a Southern Baptist church in the Deep South. And the preaching aside, that is probably not what makes you the most uncomfortable, is it? What do you think would make you the most uncomfortable about attending a Southern Baptist church? The singing. Their singing is a full body swaying, joyful, vibrant singing. We in the Reformed tradition are often called the frozen chosen. Now, I'm not advocating that we start a choir with full body swaying and singing. That type of singing without a heart change is just a performance. But I will ask you, what is your demeanor? We as Christians can be such a depressing bunch of people, can't we? We are told and commanded that when God works in you, that we are caused to burst out with joyful shouts to God because of what he has done for you. I mean, if your heart doesn't burst with joy and thanksgiving over the grace that is extended to you, do you really understand what Christ has done for you? So this is the first aspect of your thanksgiving, a joyful demeanor to the Lord, an attitude of thanksgiving. Well, the second way that we're to give thanks comes in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. And the word worship quite literally means to serve. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. We're to worship the Lord with gladness. Now we need to see this in its fullest expression. Let us just contemplate for a moment the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and how it's broken into two tables. The first four commandments is the worship of God. We are to worship God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we're to do so with gladness. The second table of the law is to love our neighbors as ourselves. We give thanks to God when we serve others. I want to read to you Jesus' words from Matthew 25. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Serving the Lord by worshiping God and by serving others is giving thanksgiving to God. Well, the third way we give thanksgiving is by coming. We read in verse 2, come before his presence with singing. Joyful shouting is our general attitude and demeanor. The command to come refers to the formal worship of God. The psalm describes the coming of the people of God to Jerusalem to worship. One commentator made a great summary. He said, a social gospel is not enough. And a silent belief is not enough. It's both serving others and worshiping God. Three things make up how we are to worship God. Our attitude should be an attitude of thanksgiving. Our actions should be that of thanksgiving. And our worship should be in thanksgiving as well. Think about the way you live. Do you live a life of thanksgiving? Do you rejoice in the grace that God has extended to you? Our second point this afternoon brings us to verse 3 and the fourth commandment that is in this Psalm 100. In the first point, we were told how we are to give thanks. And in verse 3, the psalmist explains why we must give thanks. In verse 3, we read, know that the Lord, he is God. The imperative command here is to know. Our thanksgiving to God must be intelligent. We must know whom we are thanking. So much of pagan religions is just giving thanks to the spirits, to the ancestors, to this or that, but there's no knowledge there. So what then are we called to know about God? And there's two things that are mentioned in verse 3, and both of these things drive us to thanksgiving. The first thing that we're called to know about God is that it is He who made us and not we ourselves. So what happens to man if we do not know that God is the one who created us? Well, if we don't know that, we don't give thanks, nor do we worship God, do we? If you believe in evolution, what do you not do? You don't worship God. There's some who will try to say, well, God used evolution as His work of creation. But I say either way, in evolution, you're taking away from God's glory and disregarding His word, because we are told that God spoke and it was. And what happens in turn is that you're not giving thanks to God for giving life to us. Right on the heels of the Reformation was the Enlightenment. And the Enlightenment taught that man can figure out everything on their own, and that man does not need religion to tell them anything. But when you take a moment to contemplate, it was God who made me. It is God who gave me life. All life is derived from God because He is life. And if God does not desire me to have life 5 minutes from now, I will be dead. This knowing realigns our thinking, doesn't it? And it drives us to praise. The second thing that we're called to know is this: we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are called to know that God is our Redeemer. We're so clearly pointed to Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. The Old Testament saints write that the Messiah to come would be a shepherd. Just as David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." They would see this in types and shadows. But as we come into the New Testament, Jesus proclaims loud and clear, "I am the good shepherd." When we truly know that God is our Redeemer, that Jesus is our Redeemer, when we know this, what ought to be our response? Thanksgiving. There's a reason why we give thanks. And that's because God is our Creator and gives us life. And Jesus is our Redeemer. It's through His work on the cross and His grace extended to us that we are saved. Can you see that it really doesn't matter what's going on outside those doors? There could be mayhem in the street right now. An invading army could roll its tanks down Huron Street. The police could pull up any moment at this door and arrest each and every one of us for worshiping God here today. It doesn't matter. It's not in our freedom, and it's not in our prosperity that we give thanks to God. We give thanks because of who God is and His work in our hearts. Our Lord gives such wonderful promises to hold dear to our hearts, such as, "I will never leave you, never will I forsake you, and surely I am with you always." Well, let's now turn our attention to verse 4, which is an invitation to give thanks. Verse 4 has three strong imperatives. We read, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good." The three imperatives, or the three commands, being to enter, to be thankful, and to bless. Verse 4, the emphasis is upon the gathering of God's people to the temple to thank and praise God together. Verse 4 teaches us that thanksgiving includes the whole people of God together, and not just the private prayers of individuals. When God calls us to Christ, he did not call us in isolation, but to be his elect people together. Do you exercise responsibility toward one another by encouraging one another to be to a thankful response towards God? One way to thank God is by inviting others to join us in thanksgiving and worship together. The psalmist in verse 1 proclaims, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands." The nations are being called to praise God. The work of the pastor is not to do the ministry by himself. The pastor is to encourage the people of God to go out and do ministry. Are you praying to the Lord for ways to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others? Are you inviting them to church? Telling the things that we have been talking about here this afternoon, that God is their creator and Jesus is their savior if they too believe. We are invited. No, invited is too soft of a word, because these are actually commands. We're commanded to invite all the peoples to come and worship God. You see, worship is a creation ordinance. It is what we were created to do, is worship. It's what we were created to do. Therefore, it is not wrong to invite everyone to come to worship. It is our duty to worship. So let us encourage one another to give thanks. Thanksgiving to our glorious God. On our fourth point this afternoon, we're going to be looking at verse 5. And in verse 5 is another reason why we should be giving thanks to God. In verse 3, we learned why we should be thankful, and that is because of what the Lord has done. And now as we come to verse 5, the psalmist is once again telling us why we should give praise. But this time, it's because of who God is. In verse 5, we read, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." So we not only praise God for what he has done, as we've seen in verse 3, but now we give thanksgiving for who God is. And we see this in three ways in verse 5. First, we read that God is good. Do you recall that interaction between Jesus and the rich young ruler, where the young ruler approaches Jesus and says, "Good teacher." And Jesus responds, "Why do you call me good, as only God is good?" These days, we don't use the word good as it is originally used, which is that of perfection. The God of the Bible, our God, our Savior, is and always has been good. We are told that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. So we give thanksgiving to God because He is good. He is good in all His dealings with man. That is who He is. Second, we give thanks to God because His mercy is everlasting. The Hebrew word that the psalmist uses is that glorious word that's quite hard to translate. Hesed. God's mercy or loving kindness, steadfast love is everlasting. We learned a couple of weeks ago in Ephesians 3 where Paul wrote that the people of God ought to be grounded and rooted in the knowledge of the love of God. Nothing lies so much at the very heart of God as love. So this too is a reason we give thanksgiving to God. For He is good and He is merciful. Third, we read His truth endures to all generations. Our God is faithful. Our world is changing at an incredible pace. I, for one, never thought we would be having conversations about the effects of AI on job security, but yet here we are. Governments change, new wars, policies, technology, all changing at a rapid pace. But our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful. His word, His truth, has endured through the Old Testament in the nation of Israel. It has endured through the early church. It endured through the dark ages. And it will most certainly endure through this age until our Lord comes back in glory. We give thanks to God in what He has done, but also for who He is. And our God is good, merciful, and faithful. Praise the Lord. Do you see the loveliness of our God and our Savior? If you do not see God as altogether lovely, I pray that you will bow your knee before the cross and before our Lord and pray that the Lord would indeed open your eyes to see His majesty and beauty. As we conclude this afternoon, is not your eyes drawn into the heavenly places? I will ask you, when the Lord works in your heart, changing your soul from death to life by the work of Jesus Christ, what is your response? When someone does a nice thing for you, what is the first thing we often think of? I must give them a nice gift for what they have done for me. And that may be our first inclination to God's love and mercy. I'd like to give God a nice gift in response to His glorious gift of life. But what we learn is there's nothing that we can give that God wants. But there is something that our God, our Savior, desires. He desires your worship. You're commanded to give thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in your attitudes, your deeds, and in your worship. We're called together to give thanksgiving as a church. And we do so because of what our Savior has done and because of who He is. So the question is this afternoon, how do we enter the gates of God's blessing? We enter through the door opened for us by Christ and his atoning death. It's then the God of Psalm 100 becomes our God. And we rejoice in being his people through the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we do not base our thanksgiving to God on what is happening out there in the world. We do not base our thanksgiving on the particular situations that we may be going through, whether good or bad. We give praise to God because we were dead, but now we are alive. You praise God because he showed you love and mercy when you hated him. I don't know what will happen in 2026 in my family or in the church. We make plans, but only the Lord knows. It may be God's desire to grow our congregation this year. He may not. But regardless, we're to give thanksgiving. And in that thanksgiving, we are to serve others, love them, show them the love of Christ, encourage people to come and worship. We're only called to be faithful. And it's in our faithfulness that God will do his great and awesome deeds. So let us give thanksgiving to God as we enter into this new year. He has been with us in the past. He is faithful in his dealings with us now, today. And he will take care of you into this next year and into the future. Your thanksgiving is rooted in Jesus himself, in his person, and in his work. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege and our duty we have to begin this new year in thanksgiving. Lord, we give you praise for who you are. We give thanksgiving for what you have done in our hearts. We give thanksgiving to you for what you will continue to do in your people. You are worthy to be praised. We thank you for what you have done. You have created us and given us life. You have created this beautiful world. You are our Redeemer. We are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we pray that you would grant us thankful hearts, that our attitudes would be continually grateful for who you are. We thank you that we could gather together as your people this day and give you praise. Lord, if there are any here who do not know of your grace and your mercy, we pray that you would work in their hearts. And we pray this in the name of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.